Luke, who wrote Acts? Luke. So I thought we'd just break it up into a few little sections. I thought I'd just give you a little overview of Acts. And what is Acts? Well, it's a book, isn't it? The Acts of the Apostles, it's called. Some people think it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But it's the Acts of the Apostles. That's what it's called. It's like a two-part from Luke. But what is it? It's a book within the Bible. What is the Bible? Let's take one step back. Bible, bibliography. It's a library. It's a collection. The Bible has got lots of different types of books. There's different types of genre. History books, prophetic books, occasional letters, specific things, prophetic narrative. So Gospels. So we have got Luke. He's not a disciple. He's not one of the original disciples. He's the author. He writes to someone called Theophilus. In Luke's gospel, he's called the most excellent Theophilus, which could suggest a rank or a position, possibly a benefactor, possibly commissioned to do it, possibly a sponsor of himself and Paul. But what is so unique about Acts is it's the only New Testament narrative we have apart from the gospel. It's this incredible story that covers the history of the church, written by the good Dr. Luke, covering a period of 30 years. Many of us love some of Paul's letters. Many of us love to study them and get into them. But the reality is all of those letters of Paul and other letters in the New Testament, none of these churches or places are in a vacuum. They weren't just written as letters or theological documents. They were written to real people, real places, with real problems and real possibilities. And Acts, all of those books in the rest of the New Testament, all of those books, apart from Revelation, it's a bit different, plug into the history that's in Acts. So Acts actually helps us understand how the church grows from predominantly, well, it's only Jewish at the start, in Jerusalem, and it moves out all the way. It moves out all the way to Rome. That's the kind of the enemy's camp, isn't it? The seat of the enemy's camp. And that's why we've chosen that verse. That verse is an incredible verse that really shows the importance of the Spirit and what happened and the result and the witnessing. But it's that kind of moving on, isn't it? From Jerusalem, their local area, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Acts covers 30 years, all the way up to Rome. When was it written? Well, it's notable that the destruction of the temple isn't mentioned, or Paul's death. So it was probably written around AD 62. And because you'd think that they would mention those events if they'd happened. So it's before Paul is executed, and it is before the destruction of the temple, which, of course, Jesus prophesied. So it's a unique book. It shows this journey. What I love about this kind of the movement from the gospel is, do you know what? The gospel doesn't retreat. Yeah. The good news, the kingdom of God does not retreat. It doesn't go backwards. It goes forwards. Always goes forwards. And there's some very powerful things. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It deals primarily with two apostles, predominantly. Peter early on, isn't it? And then we get Paul, the persecutor, this incredible transformation. We'll get onto that in due course. There are other notable stories, isn't it? Stephen, you know, Stephen gets, you know, stoned to death and is martyred. But as a result, we are having this conversation. Right now, we're here having this conversation. So even the most awful thing, like him being killed for his faith, God used that. Because as a result of that persecution, all of those Christians, those early believers, they spread. And as they spread out, they told people about this life-changing experience that Jesus had produced in their lives. Incredible. Now, how life-changing has that experience been in my life? How much has it been in your life? And I think right at the start, as we just are about to embark on this journey with X, can I encourage you, like all things, the more you put in, the more you will get out. Of course, I spend lots of time and hours in listening in preparation, and there's so many things all around and so many bits of papers around the house and books and different things. But then that's great. And I hope that from some of the stuff that I observe and see, I hope that some of it you can take and learn and it inspires you. But there's something powerful when we engage. And the wonderful thing about the scripture, about the Bible, is it's living and active. And it's got that guy. We have that guy, the Holy Spirit. And every time you invite him, we can learn from others. We can learn from concordances and books. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will bring it to life to you. He will show you things. And my encouragement is to go through it, to start reading, to pray, say, God, speak to me. Because every time I've invited him, he's spoken to me. He's drawn my attention to something. That Spirit has taught me something within. And like all things in life, the more you put in, the more you get out. Speak to Chantal or Jonathan. When it comes to music, if someone only plays in that half an hour a week, if they don't do their practice, nothing much changes. You will get better slowly over a period of time if the music teacher doesn't completely lose the rag with you. We've got to turn up, haven't we? We've got to turn up. We've got to involve ourselves in that process. And I really want to encourage you to involve yourself in the process, whether you've done lots of studying of the Bible or spend lots of time in the Word. Do you know what? Get into the Word. It will change your life. There's a message here that changed the world. You know, we're going to be looking at a period of history that charts how this good news of the kingdom of God, not sin management, not a sinner's prayer and go to church and say, no. The kingdom of God that changes every area of my life, my purpose, my reason, my calling, how I see work, how I relate to family, how I see eternity, every aspect of my life, we see how that changes from this little group of people in Jerusalem to that it's not about the biggest religion in the world, because it's not about a religion, it's about this movement where people are back in right relationship. And isn't it amazing that we are having this conversation over 2,000 years since the stuff that we're going to be looking at? And Jesus to us is just as real to them. And my heart is that we would be able to increase in that spending time with him, that people would look in our lives and say, I can see there's something different. And then we can tell them what it is. It's not that Chris is an optimist. No. Something has changed. Something has radically affected my life that has caused me to change the course of my life and the reason for my life and what matters in my life and my priorities in my life. So that's just a little bit of an introduction. I've actually, just to read an excerpt from the message, it's our friend Eugene's kind of introduction, and I think it's a very powerful introduction to the book of Acts. Thank you, Shane.
Okay. Because the story of Jesus is so impressive, God amongst us, God speaking a language we can understand, God acting in ways that heal and help and save us, there is a danger that we will be impressed, but only be impressed. As the spectacular dimensions of the story slowly or suddenly dawn upon us, we could easily become enthusiastic spectators and then let it go at that. Become admirers of Jesus, generous with our oohs and our ahs, and in our better moments, inspired to imitate him. It is Luke's task to prevent that, to prevent us from becoming mere spectators to Jesus, fans of the message. Of the original quartet of writers on Jesus, Luke alone continues to tell the story as the apostles and the disciples live it into the next generation. The remarkable thing is that it continues to be essentially the same story. Luke continues his narration with hardly a break, a pause perhaps to dip his pen in the inkwell, writing in the same style, using the same vocabulary. The story of Jesus doesn't end with Jesus. It continues in the lives of those who believe in him. The supernatural does not stop with Jesus. Luke makes it clear that these Christians he wrote about were no more spectators of Jesus than Jesus was a spectator of God. They are in on the action of God, God acting in them, God living in them, which also means, of course, in us.
Thank you, Shane.